Amen. Probably has been, but praise the Lord. It's good to have my wife, my sweetheart, my sugar dumpling, amen, my sweetie pie, and she's been with me. Stand up, Miss Bonnie. She asked me to do this, amen. Actually, she didn't. Lord forgive me, I'm teasing. It's not lying if you're teasing, is it? But praise the Lord. Hey, listen, it's good. I've enjoyed it. Great food. And Emily even sat with me after me teasing her this morning. And, the food was tremendous. Amen. That was great. I got a little bit angry while I was in there, though, because I seen some lady. Of course, she is skinny. And she had a plate about this big, and it was just full of cake and pie and all that stuff. And, you know, I looked at it and gained 5 pounds. Amen. And, don't you just hate these people who can eat all they want to and they never gain a pound? And let me just say this. I'm sick of people who's never weighed 200 pounds and trying to tell me how to lose weight. Amen? You don't know what fat is. Don't be trying to tell me how to lose weight. Amen? And so, anyway, praise God. I do love you, Pastor. And what a blessing. Now, whether you realize it or not, he's a product of the bus ministry. Now, he was probably saved sooner than this, but I remember... we reached him, my daughter on bus visitation, knocking doors. She kept going by his house. She seen there was bicycles and three little boys. She kept trying to get him to let them little boys ride the bus, and he wouldn't do it. Said, no, I'll bring them. I need to be in church myself. I'll bring them. And then Brother Danny began to come, and your pastor, excuse me, I know him as Danny. You call him preacher, okay? Hey, just do that for him. Hey, you know, the Bible says, and treat an elder as a father. And one of the ways I treat my daddy different than I treat anybody else is, I didn't call him Jack. I'd feel irreverent if I called. Now, if I was introducing him, I'd say, this is my father. This is my daddy, Jack Brannon. But when I addressed him as daddy. And hey, that's, by the way, that's a privilege, amen? Just anybody can't call him daddy. He's not everybody's preacher and or pastor. But I encourage you to do that. That's just kind of one of my pet peeves. Let me say again, I'm thrilled for you that you call Brother Dixon to be your pastor. And I know he loves you. Every time I get, this honest truth, every time I get around him, I'm having to write something down. And so he's in the book. And that's one of the main jobs for a preacher. And you don't know what kind of work that is, but especially the mental strain. And Brother Dixon, I wish I could give you some encouraging words to say that it gets easier, but it don't. I've been there, Lord, God lets us make it to July the 1st or July the 2nd, first Sunday in July, then we've been there for 29 years. And I want to tell you, when they've heard everything you got to say, they've heard all your jokes, and they've heard all your illustrations, your thoughts, it gets harder. It's harder to try to stay fresh and all. But we praise God for it. I'm like the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I thank God that he counted me faithful, put me in a ministry. And I enjoyed the song a few minutes ago, I'm saved to the uttermost. I like what old Tim Lee used to say. He said, I'm so saved, it's pitiful. Amen? And it is. And, I'll tell you what, we're going to try to be brief today. Let's get into the scriptures, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 9. I was telling Brother Dixon, I said, I think I'm going to change messages. So I started telling him about this, and when I started telling him about this, and I got stirred up, so I guess we'll preach this one, okay? Amen. Let me read you one little something here, and then we'll get serious getting the scriptures here. I may have read this before, but Brother Dixon said we've got some new folks here, and this is entitled Get Out of the Car. This is supposedly a true account recorded in the police log of Sarasota, Florida. It says an elderly Florida lady did her shopping, and upon returning to her car, found four males in the act of leaving with her vehicle. She dropped her shopping bags and drew her handgun, proceeding to scream at the top of her lungs, I have a gun and I know how to use it. Get out of the car. The four men didn't wait for a second threat. They got out and ran like mad. The lady, somewhat shaken, then proceeded to load her shopping bags into the back of the car and got into the driver's seat. She was so shaken that she could not get her key into the ignition. She tried and tried, and then she realized why. It was for the same reason that she had wondered why there was a football, a frisbee, and 2 12-packs of beer in the front seat. A few minutes later, she found her own car parked 4 or 5 spaces farther down. She loaded her bags into the car and drove to the police station to report the mistake. The sergeant to whom she told the story couldn't stop laughing. He pointed to the other end of the counter where four pale men were reporting a carjacking by a mad elderly woman described as white, less than 5 feet tall, glasses, curly white hair, and carrying a large handgun. No charges were filed. The moral of the story, if you're going to have a senior moment, make it a big one. Amen? All right. Well, God bless you. Let's get into the scriptures here, and I'll tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her sixth husband, I won't keep you long. Amen? 2 Samuel chapter 9, and begin reading verse 1. The Bible says, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called unto him, and when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel and Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore unto thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread continually at my table continually. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for these folks that are here. Lord, thank you for the good meal. Lord, the kindness that these folks have expressed to me, and Lord, this church that stands for the truth, stands for the preaching of the Word of God, stands for the fundamental truths of the Bible. Now, Lord, help us today. Lord, give us clarity of thought. Lord, help us to be awake. Lord, I know that we're tired. We just eat. But Lord, help us to get something from your word this afternoon. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now some of you may have already jumped ahead of me and jumped to conclusions, because this is a great passage here. I listened to a message this week while I was working in the garage by Brother Jack Howells entitled The First Bus Kid. And a great message, and it's on Mephibosheth. The Bible, here we find that Mephibosheth was a cripple. Let me just say this about Mephibosheth. He was crippled from a fall. Amen. You can go over to 2 Samuel 4:4, and it tells us that a maiden, that the news of war broke out, and his helper, a maiden, had picked him up to carry him to run, and they fell, and during the flight, they fell, and little Mephibosheth was crippled. And so we find he was crippled from the fall. By the way, you and I, my friend, we were crippled from the fall. Amen. From the fall of man. And then not only that, but we find that he was sought by the king. Amen. He was sought by the king. And let me say this. When the king found him, when they found him, he was willing to go. Amen. And he didn't say, now, I know the King of Kings wants me, but don't start high praise me. I got to think about this. Man, he lived in Lodibar. It was a depressed place. It was a bad place. By the way, the world's an awful place. Amen. And an old lost sinner, he's out in the world, and the King of Kings is seeking for him, and he wants to bring him and bring him to his table. Amen. Hey, he was sought by the king. He was willing to go. He was willing to serve there when David called his name. He said, thy servant is he. And let me say this, my friend. He sat at the king's table. You see, he sat there at the king's table with the king's sons. He was adopted into the family of the king. Amen. Now, that's a great message right there, and I've preached that message, and all. But that's not who I want to focus on today. I want to focus on Ziba. Some people would call him Ziba. Some people call him Ziba. I'm just going to call him Ziba, okay? I want to focus on Ziba. We'll notice a few things about Ziba here, and we'll go to the house, okay? Now, Ziba's one of these fellas. If you don't watch it, you'll overlook him. Now, I wanted to preach a message about Zacharias over in Luke chapter 1. If you don't watch it, there's about six verses there about Zacharias. And if you don't watch it, you'll read right past him. Okay, I read his name. Okay, he was this. And you go on. There's some great things, great truths there. But let's notice some things here about Ziba. First of all, let me say this. Ziba was a former servant of Saul. Notice there in verse 2, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And so we find that he was a former, the best I can tell, he was a former servant of Saul. Hey, let me just say this, my friend. That's the other king. That's the other king. And not only that, my friend, it said of the family of Saul. And now maybe it's talking about he was a servant of the family, but I think he was of the family. Maybe of the family. And let me just say this, my friend. He was, before you got saved, you belonged to a different family. Amen. I remember Jesus talking one day, and he looked at some Pharisees, and he said, "You're of your father, the devil." And my friend, but when I got saved, I was born into the family of God. And when you trusted Christ, you was born into a new family. Amen. And so we find that he used to serve the other king and was associated with the other family. And my friend, if you're saved, my friend, you used to belong to another king. Amen. To the other side. But let me say this now. Notice there in verse 2, when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." Let me say this, my friend. Now he serves a different king. Amen. Hey, wouldn't it be something if we as Christians, if we serve God with as much enthusiasm and as much vigor and energy as we served the devil before we got saved? Amen. Hey, thank God for these kids. Thank God for my children were raised in a Christian home and they were raised on drugs, if you will. Amen. They was drugged to church on Sunday morning, drugged to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night and revival night. And let me just say this, my friend, those drugs still run through their veins because they're still in church today. Amen. Thank God for that testimony, but I'm going to tell you something. Some of us weren't saved from that testimony. Some of us used to serve the other side. And hey, now I'm serving a new king. Let me say this. He's a whole lot better king to serve. Amen. Hey, Ziba, hey, he was his former servant of Saul. Hey, he served a different king. Let me say this, my friend. Ziba has been shown kindness by the king. Now here we find that we know that David said, I want to find somebody in the house of Saul to find that I may show kindness, the kindness of God to them, by the way. But Ziba was extended kindness from the king. Ziba, my friend, had been a servant of Saul, and Ziba had been a part of the family of Saul. Technically speaking, Ziba should have been dead, amen? Because you see, when a new king comes in, if he's a different line, a lot of times, even if he was from the same line of the king, he'd kill all the other people. He'd kill all the other heirs. And my friend, Ziba had been shown kindness by the king. Just the fact that he's alive shows that he's been shown kindness by King David. My friend, not all that, but let me say this. Ziba was anxious to please the new king. Ziba was anxious there in verse 1. David asked the question. He said, "Hey, is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And immediately in verse 2 it says, "And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness, the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." He was anxious. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. When I got saved, my priorities changed. Amen. Hey, when I got saved, you take an old lost sinner. He's uncomfortable in church. And by the way, an old lost sinner ought to be uncomfortable in church. Amen. Now, I didn't say, we got this term in the new churches, we want to say we're seeker friendly. Praise God, we ought to be seeker friendly. When an old lost sinner comes in the door, he ought to have his hand shaken off. He ought to, he ought to be loved and welcomed and greeted. And he is here and he is at our church. But I want to tell you something. If an old lost sinner can come to Crossroads Baptist Church or Cedar Ridge Baptist Church and hear the preaching of the Word of God and it don't do something to him, it doesn't bother him, there's something wrong. My friend, because when we preach the Word of God, the Holy, I don't know about you. How many of you know what Holy Ghost conviction is? Amen. I'm going to tell you what, I was a 10-year-old boy, and I sat back there on that side, I told you this morning, and that old preacher got up and preached. I don't remember what he preached about. I remember hell. Man, I remember that being in there. But I really don't remember what he preached about that night and all those things. I just know that the Holy Spirit of God had me on the run. Amen. I didn't know what it was. I just knew I wanted to get saved, and I didn't know what it was all about. Ziba's been shown kindness. Ziba, after he got saved, he was anxious to please his new king. There in verse 2, he answered the king's call. The king sent for him, and he came and he spoke up. Let me say this, my friend. He spoke to the king on a cripple's behalf. He spoke to the king on a cripple's behalf. Let me ask you a question, my friend. When was the last time you spoke to the king on behalf of an old crippled, lost sinner on the road to hell? Oh yes, we saw him going down the road. We saw him run up on the curb, the drunk driver run up on the curb and swerve, and we had to step around where he got sick and throwed up, where he's drunk all that garbage and put it down, and we've heard his language coming out of his mouth and all, and it aggravates us and it angers us maybe, or you know, the person that, you know, just the old drunkard is beating his wife or whatever. But when's the last time we got on our knees and talk to the king about that old cripple? Amen. Boy, I tell you what, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again. We need to care about the lost. My friend, Ziba had been shown kindness by the king. Ziba was anxious to please the king. He answered the king's call, and he talked to the king on a cripple's behalf. Let me say this, my friend, about Ziba. Ziba was in touch. He was in touch. In verse 3, it said, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. He knew that boy's condition. He knew his condition. You know, sometimes we get mad at the sin. We get mad at the sinner rather than getting mad at sin. Oh, we get mad at the drug addict. We get mad at the liberals. But you know, truth is, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. Well, he's a liberal. Well, he's this. You know what? He's lost. He's lost. He's serving his family. He's serving his king. We just need to tell him about our king. Amen. We need to remember their condition. He knew his condition. Let me say this, my friend. Not only did Ziba know his condition, I'm talking about Mephibosheth, but he knew where to find him. Hello, my name is so-and-so. I'm from Crossroads Baptist Church, and we're here to welcome you into the community. We understand that you haven't lived here long, and we see that you've moved in recently, and we just want to welcome you to the community, and we just want to let you know that we're here. We're right up there at the corner of Emory and Bell, and we got a good church and a friendly pastor, and you know, and he's got a good pastor's wife, and he loves people, and we love children, and they're just trying to serve God and trying to do what God would have us to do there. Man, we'd just love to have you come see us. You know what? That's how you find out where people are at. Amen. See, I'm for technology. I mean, if you can text somebody and get them here, praise God. If you can email somebody and get them here, praise God. If you can invite somebody on Facebook and get them here, praise God. But I'm going to tell you what, every now and then we need to go where they're at. We need to go, you see. Demo coming in here and messing up this or doing this or doing this. That kid act like he ain't never had a meal to eat in his life. Little pig, run to the front of the line. That little boy might not have had breakfast this morning. Daddy might have drunk up all the groceries money, and while that kid walked by and somebody did this and the kid hit the floor. Well, he acted, well, I only learned how to act in public. That little boy might have walked by his daddy slapped him down, so anytime somebody moves their hand, I've seen kids flinch when mama moves her hand before. He knew where he was at. He knew the conditions he lived under. Ziba was in touch. Here's a great truth. Notice verse 9, 10, and 11. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, and thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, for he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. This is not something you hear a lot about nowadays, even among fundamental circles. But let me say this. Ziba served God by serving others. Well, that pastor, I mean, obey them that have the rule over you in the Lord. And he just, I want to tell you something. The pastor's the head, but I'm going to tell you something. Pastor's the head servant. When a preacher's in there studying his heart out and working on a message, he's trying to get something that will be interesting to you, that will stir your heart, that will help you. Hey, and you know what? Sometimes when he tells you the truth that you don't like it, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Truth will still set you free. Amen? The truth will help you. Ziba served the king by serving a cripple. Dr. Bobby Robertson, some of you knew Dr. Bobby. Brother Jack Hiles, pastor of the largest church in America for years. Brother Jack Hiles referred to Gospel Light, which is the church that Brother Bobby pastored, as the miracle work of the 20th century. I was there a couple of years ago, and they had 2,000 in Sunday school, thereabouts. And I want to tell you something about Dr. Bobby. He was a servant. He loved... I mean, he was a servant. We run into him at the motel. I mean, he's the keynote speaker. He's the one of the heroes that we're all looking up to. You run into old Dr. Bobby at the motel. How you doing, boys? And we'd sit down. He'd want to go out and sit down and drink coffee. And you'd think he was talking to somebody with bib overalls on. A servant. Servant. He served the king. By the way, let me say this. You and I, we can serve the King of Kings by getting a Kleenex and wiping snot off of some little bus kid. We can serve the King of Kings maybe by mopping up vomit. We can serve. Hey, it's not all bad stuff or tough stuff, but I'm going to tell you something. It's an honor to serve others. Ziba, one of the servants of King Saul. Go take care of that crippled boy. Go pull the weeds out of his garden. Go mow his yard. Make sure that the bills are paid and make sure that this is done and this is done. Oh, where's he at for supper? Oh, he's eating up here at the king's house. That's where he's at, but you go take care of his stuff. He served the king by serving others. My last point. God, give us some Zibas. Give us some Zibas. Hey, give us some people. I don't know about you. Now, I know that Brother Dixon like this. I want to see people walk the aisle and get saved. Now, I praise the Lord when somebody comes, maybe somebody moves from up north. They finally grew a brain, amen? And they moved from up north to come down south, amen? I'm teasing. Some of my greatest church members talk funny, amen? Let me just say this, my friend. You better get used to it, because this way we're going to talk in heaven, amen? Now I forgot what I was saying, amen? I love it when God brings somebody like that in. They already saved, they already know the tithe, they already know win souls and all that. But every now and then I get hungry. God, I just want to see somebody walk the aisle. Or I just want to go out on bus visitation or adult soul winning and talk to somebody and lead them down the old Romans road and show them that they're a sinner and hear them pray the sinner's prayer and, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and trust Jesus as their Savior. But God, give us some Zibas who've experienced the King's kindness. Hey, give us some Zibas who are anxious to please their new king. Amen. What a blessing it is for somebody to come in and say, "Preacher, can I do something? What can I do, preacher? What, you know, can I sing in the choir? You know, can I help with all? Can you know what a blessing it? God, give us some people who are anxious to please and serve their King. God, give us some people, some Zibas, who remember where they came from. God, deliver us from this bunch of long-nosed, holier-than-thou people. Amen. Let's thank God for people that are sharp and educated and refined and all that. We need to remember where we came from. I look around. The crowd I grew up with, most of them in jail, most of them being in and out of jail, a lot of them are dead. I preached a lot of their funerals. And I think that's where I came from. That's the life and that's the crowd that God saved me out of. Don't ever forget where you came from. Don't ever get too holy. I'm for standards. I'm for doing right. But also remember, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd split hell wide open and so would you. God, give us some Zibas who's concerned with those people that the King is concerned for. My friend, Jesus loves that bus kid. God loves that drunkard. God loves that homeless person. We were on visitation yesterday, and me and Brother John Beck, and he was here with you a few weeks ago, and man, we went to this house doing some of the new neighbor visits you're talking about there, brother, or we do a lot of that type stuff. But I told him, I said, "Man, you know, sometimes you go to this house, nobody's home, this house, nobody's home, this house, nobody's home." And so I told him, I said, "Talk to somebody." Because just about, I remember going to one house that, I mean, I got a name and a piece of paper, their new move-ins, all this, and so I knock on the door, nobody's home. But you know what? Next door, there's a kid working on a go-kart. Next door, there's a guy got the hood up on his car, and he's over there, and "Hey, man, I come to visit your neighbor next door, but let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you died today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven?" I said, "Talk to somebody." Yeah. I remember being on visitation years ago. A lady there with us, a great soul winner. This little boy standing beside the church fan there, and we would... And she said, "Somebody give that little boy a track. Somebody give that little boy a track." You know why? Because that little boy is going to spend eternity in heaven or hell one day. God, give us some people that are concerned with those that the King of Kings is concerned about. And last of all, the same thing again. God, give us some Zibas who will serve God by serving others. Oh, there's a lot of people who want a position. Oh, they'll hold a position. They'll be in charge. I got a guy right now. I'm thinking about him. I mentioned to him today. I said, "Is there a possibility you might could help me this evening? We're getting ready to have our missions conference starts next Sunday, and we put our missions flags on the wall." I said, "Anyway, you can help me put the flags up. It won't surprise me at all. Matter of fact, I'll actually be surprised if I get to the church and those flags are not already up. I can just mention something. We're going to have a dinner. Preacher, you want me to set the tables up? We have the dinner, and, man, I'm whooped. Man, I don't know, about, you know, some Brother Danny, I don't know if I was that bad when I was your age, but I tell you what, man, after I preach two or three times on Sunday and half time get a nap on Sunday, come Sunday night, I am whooped, amen? I'm not even going to bother with the word whipped, amen? I just buzzed and just flew right past that thing. I'm plumb whooped, amen? Have a little fellowship on Sunday night, and I'm sitting there, man, you know, take the tie off, you know, sitting there just fellowshipping, and I hear clanking and banging and clanking. I look, he's over there folding up chairs and putting up tables. I'm talking about serving the King of Kings by serving others. Hey, I love you today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting your preacher. Preacher, thank you for having me. This guy, I went to Oregon and preached last fall. Brother Bo Smith, his daddy's a pastor. Good man, a good man. But when I go preach for Bo, Bo introduces me and said, "You get to hear my preacher today." He refers to me as his preacher. I'm so honored. These boys will do more than I ever thought about doing. They're smarter than I ever thought about being. But I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be your pastor's pastor. And I'm glad that you're here. Let's all stand for prayer. I just want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Keep on serving Jesus. Hey, you serve your pastor, you'll be serving Jesus in doing that. Amen. Lord, love you today. Thank you, Father. This has been refreshing for me. I pray that you'll bless now these people. Thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, I know they're tired. Lord, I pray that you'll bless them for staying. I pray that that you'll help us be more like you. I pray that you'll bless their big day, the hunt. I pray that you'll give them at least 500 that day. Lord, I know that's what the pastor wants to see, at least that. Father, I pray that you'll give them a great day. I pray that you'll give them souls for the labor. Lord, bless their new visitation program, their new visitor thing that they're coming out with. Lord, help us to serve you. Help us to serve others. Help us to go out. Help us to go into the Lodi bars in Hall's Crossroads and in Knoxville. And help us to find those that were crippled by the fall. Help us to serve the King by serving them. In Jesus' name, Pastor.